But I knew that rebellion was going to be the big topic here, because with Korach, with this parsha, it almost is almost always about rebellion. So I'm not going to talk about rebellion, because I knew that it was going to be discussed here this morning. But I want to open this morning with Numbers 16:3, and we'll see what's happening here. Now Korach, the son of Itzar, the son of Kohat, the son of Levi, with... No, that's my first. Let's go to... that was my opening. 16:3. Yep. Yeah, that was our opening. 16:3 wasn't on there? It wasn't. All right. You know, this new help that we have here today. Okay, sorry about that, guys. All right, so let me go to it, and I will read it. Okay, 16:3. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the congregation of the Lord?" Number 16:3. So I need to, in order to talk about my topic this morning, I need to just touch on rebellion here, because rebellion, when it's out of order, when it is uncalled for, the subject of judgment in the flesh comes into play. Now here's the thing. With rebellion, being judgmental always comes into play. When people are judgmental, it doesn't always lead to rebellion. But the other way is true, almost always true. That there is rebellion because people have been judgmental. And so this morning I want to talk about this, the idea of judgment in the flesh. So many times bad judgment leads to these rebellion actions. And occasionally, I fall into this thing. I think we all do. We tend to look at things and look at people, look at things and people and situations many times, and we tend to get a little judgmental. Sometimes we get a lot judgmental about the thing. So we all tend to fall into this area when we shouldn't, and we need to constantly be aware that judging others in a fleshly way, and I keep saying in a fleshly way, can really hurt us and can hurt other people and can hurt situations here. Judgmental, being judging in a fleshly way, judging, assuming things too often, where we assume things, where we make things up in our mind, and because we make them up in our mind, we take action about what we have assumed. Or we jump to conclusions without knowing all of the background. Many times, we don't know what's happening with people. We don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know what kind of situations they have, and we don't want to give them any leeway. And right away, we are judging. We jump to conclusions. That is part of judging in the flesh. And the verse that so often comes up that people usually know about is from Matthew. It's Matthew 7:1. judge not, that you be not judged. People always remember, Yeshua says, we shouldn't judge. People don't use this and take this for themselves. But if someone tries to judge them or the situation in a loving way, in a proper way, they'll fire this thing off. We're not to judge. Who are you to judge? We're not to judge. Now, this, we have to take this into context. I'm going to talk about this in just a minute. Because the problem is that it is fired at anyone that tries to even godly correct someone. And so for the person that so often makes it a practice to judge everyone, and usually if people are judgmental, there are certain people, it's like their unspiritual gift is judging people. And so they judge everyone and every situation, no matter what it is. And so the people, they make it a practice to judge everyone. And so here, let's look at the next verse, Matthew 7, 2, and try to put it a little bit into perspective. Yeshua goes on to say, for what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And it doesn't even necessarily mean other people are going to judge you. But what he's saying is, it's Yeshua saying this. He's talking about the day that we stand before the Lord and we are judged. And so if we tend to judge people in a certain way, we need to understand God may judge you in the same way because you set a standard here. And so putting this into context, we see that judging, we have to really think about this thing sometimes. We should all want people to speak into our lives to help us to grow, to help us mature. It is important for people to speak into our lives that way. And so sometimes we need to judge a situation in a godly way, but we need to do it. And judging it, really, I mean, it's one of the words that will come up. Judging is not always a negative word. We need to understand that. Sometimes it's used for God, it's used for good, it's used for the kingdom. But we need to understand, we want to have people that judge situations that we may be doing in our lives and saying to us, listen, you know, maybe you should do something this way and that way. It's not pointing a finger necessarily and condemning them, but just to say, maybe you should be doing this way. This is the way you should look at it this way, look at it another way. In other words, to give us the understanding, it gives us the opportunity to grow and even, yes, to mature. There's a difference between judging and condemnation. Thank you for that one applause. But there is a difference between, I'm going to say it again, you don't have to applaud this time again. But there is a difference between judging and condemnation. So when we judge in the flesh, it is almost always we are condemning people. We are trying to bring them down, and we're trying to raise ourselves up in some way. And so Yeshua's statement in verse 1 was not a statement condemning all judgment or all judging, if I want. And again, I have to use the word. And so we see judging throughout the scriptures. I'll give maybe just a couple of little examples here. But righteous judging is when you see it in the scriptures many times, you'll understand. Shaul wanted judgment calls. When he wrote these things, he was writing to people, and as they read these things, they would have to be judging people and situations in a godly way. And he wanted judgment calls on people's character. And so I encourage people to be more aware of people's character and to look at situations instead of sort of jumping in. I know I'm going to go back. Right away, I'm going to go back to the internet. I keep going back to that internet thing. I can't help myself. But sometimes people's discernment is like, I don't know where it is. Because they see things on the internet and they see the wackiness of what's going on there. And maybe there are a couple of good things in there. And right away they pick out the good things and they say, well, that person can't be bad. But there's a lot of garbage out there. We need, and I'm saying that we need more discernment. And discernment has a part with godly judgment. It is. And so Shaul encourages the people. And I'm encouraging you this morning. So let's go. There are going to be two scriptures, one from 1 Timothy, one from Titus. It's 1 Timothy 3, 10 and 11, and Titus chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. So let's look at the first one. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Next one. From Titus. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that's right. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Titus, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, and not greedy for money. Now, when we see these things that Shaul writes, if you're going to look at people and see if they're self-controlled, if they're not slanderous, if they're sober-minded, if they're all these things that qualify them to be in any leadership position in a congregation, you have to judge the situation and judge the people. See, there is good judging. There is good judgmental. It's not in the flesh. It's in the spirit. It's a godly kind of judging. But we need to do that, just like the internet people. You need to judge them. We need to judge people's character. If you see someone here and there's a pattern of something that's just not right here, let it be known that there's something not right here. Yes, you may be judging the situation, but what you're doing is you're looking at the situation and trying to put it in its context and see what it is. You see, so Shaul is encouraging them. It sounds like judgment, doesn't it? What he's doing, it sounds like judgment. It is judgment. It is judging. And so, if we go back to what Yeshua said, 15 verses after what Yeshua said to do not judge, he adds something in Matthew 7:15, and this is what he says. Beware. Now he's asking the disciples to judge. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You have to. Yeshua is saying, judge them. People are coming in. They come in looking really good. They know all the terminology. And they seem to have a good background. But if you see things going on that just don't look kosher, then you need to understand they may be those wolves in sheep's clothing. False prophets. False prophets, why? Because they are, whatever they're speaking to people, it's not a God, it's not from the Lord. It's not from so saith the Lord. Now, I've had people sometimes, first-time visitors come in, And I will see them praying for people after service. And I'm going to, you know what I do? I run right over there. Because I don't know who that person is. Now, I'm not saying they're bad, but I don't want to chance it that someone that's coming in and they're praying for our people here, that there's going to be a bad situation. You need to, when somebody prays for you, you need to know who that person is. Don't let anyone pray for you. Because they may have a spirit, but it may not be God's spirit. And so this is really the truth here. And so Yeshua's test the spirits. Test the spirits. Sometimes you give people just enough time and leeway, enough rope, they will show you who they are. Test the spirits. So Yeshua warns about finding fault in others. Especially when we overlook our shortcomings. And like I said before, a lot of times people that are the people that judge everyone and everything, they've got a lot of shortcomings. And it's almost like they're trying to cover up all the problems they have in their life. And they how do they ignore them? By looking at other people and that problem they have. And that's, and there may be people that have this problem and that problem and everything. But they need to look at themselves and take care of their own problems instead of looking out to look at everybody else's problems. And so they don't have to look inward because they're too busy looking out at everybody else. And so Yeshua wants us to not overlook our own shortcomings. He wants us to look at ourselves and correct ourselves on our own if we can. And so let's look at, and this is my other example here, is Yaakov. It's Yeshua's brother. And, you know, in our English versions, it's, say, James. But he is Yaakov. He was Jacob. That was his name. His name was Jacob. So let's look at Yaakov, Jacob, or James. He was the head of the Messianic movement at that time after Yeshua's death. Can you imagine? You know, you talk about sometimes, you know, when a congregation gets to a certain point, it's like herding cats sometimes, you know, getting them all together. Well, you can imagine some what he had on his hands sometimes. He had all the believers, you know, in Jerusalem, and he was the head of that group of Messianic Jewish believers. And so he looked around the people and he realized that there was a problem going on there. And so people were being partial. They were showing partiality to people. Now we see one instance of it, but I'm going to tell you it can happen both ways. But he addresses the situation. And this is what he says. So we look at James 2:1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Now, there's two things I want to point out to you. First of all, don't hold the faith with partiality. In other words, don't prejudge just because someone looks away or one way or another way. Don't be partial to that. And certainly in your own mind, don't say in your own mind, well, I'm going to only talk to these kinds of people and all these kinds of people. You know, even if they're the believers, that they're certain, for whatever, for their reason, for their personal reasons, they're going to talk to only a certain kind of people. But the other thing he says here, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord of glory, and it's like, it's almost out of place that he's saying that. He specifically says that Yeshua is glorious. Yeshua is the Lord of glory. I think it's in that he's saying this because if you consider Yeshua glorious, if you consider God to be glorious, if you look at all the glory of God and look at all the glory of Messiah Yeshua, then do not glorify in your mind one person over another. Because it's the Lord that's glorious. And so what we do is we tend to prefer certain people. You know, it comes back to really what Shaul said, that we are all one in Messiah. This is what it is. We are all one in Messiah. And so we should all deal as one big family, good or bad, no matter what's going on. We need to consider ourselves to be family. And so the idea of glorious and God, man is man and God is God. And so we should understand that we should in our mind glorify one person over another. Because man is man. That's who we are. And so if we are one in Messiah, then we should be not showing partiality. And I know we all have our cliques and we all have our friends that we can't wait to get with every week. And I understand that. But we also need to know we are all one in Messiah and we are all one here. And so I like to talk about this as being one family, because it's family. It's whether you're older folk or you're kids. And I want you to treat the kids of other people kindly. You know how you treat your own grandchildren, your own children? Sometimes we need to treat other kids' children in a way that we would treat your own children or grandchildren, as long as you have a good relationship with your children. Okay? You know. Or the relationship that you should have with your children. But let's say the grandchildren, because you always love your grandchildren no matter what. Come on. It does it, right? You can hate your kids, but you love the grandchildren. So anyway, all right. So the thing is, we need to do that. And sometimes we need to, you know, we need to remind ourselves, and I need to remind people about that. You know, let the kids, say hello to the kids. Make them feel like they should be here. Make them feel good about being here. You know, don't just walk right by them because they're someone else's kids. We are one family. You know, and in a way, we are part of the body of Messiah. It's an even bigger family. Again, with all of its pitfalls and situations and everything, we are. So we, in the Messianic movement, we have an opportunity to be a family here in the congregation. We are part of the Messianic movement as a bigger family, and as a bigger family, we're part of the body of Messiah. Really, that's it. We're all part of three wonderful families here. And so we shouldn't show favoritism over, and I'll use examples, well-dressed people or underdressed people, shoddy-dressed people, people that can't afford nice-looking clothes. People sometimes walk in the door and you know they don't have a whole lot of money. But there are some people that go immediately to the well-dressed people and they don't go to the other people. But I'm going to say there are people that go to the more shoddy looking people and they for some reason, I don't know if they're intimidated or what, but if somebody comes well-dressed here, they're not as friendly to them. I don't understand why, but they're not. And so we need to understand it goes both ways. Yaakov was basically talking to the, because they tended to go to the well-presented Jewish people that were coming to, you know, into the faith, and not the ones that were poor. But I'm telling you, it does go both ways. And we need to understand that. So if we are to, as we read about every week, love your neighbor as yourself, how can we be judgmental? Now, some of you, not me, but some of you, may live in a subdivision where everybody has a lot of money. So your neighbors are all those people. But we understand to say love your neighbor as yourself, meaning love the other people as you would like to be loved. Respect people as you would like to be respected. Deal with people as you want to be dealt with. Which really shows what Yeshua said before. If you judge in a certain way, then you're going to be judged in that same way. And so the human nature delights in pointing out faults in others, as I said before, because it does have a tendency to build people up in their own mind. But those people need to understand they're not really being built up. It's only in their own mind. It doesn't make them look good. It only makes them look good in their own mind. And so sometimes people do that. And so they search out for things to judge and things to point the finger and everything. It's doing it in a fleshly way. And so now, it is true, some are more educated than others here. Some are more prosperous than others here. Some are more attractive than others here. Because that's who we are. We're a diverse kind of people. We are all here, or should be, because we have that common bond that we love the Lord, that we love Messiah, that we love our Father in heaven, and that we believe in them. And that's the common bond that we have. That we should want to live for him, live for them. We should want to serve them as much as we can. And I know that there's a common thing here, that we all want to see our friends and our families and our neighbors. We want to see them saved. We want to see them. You know, if you don't get along with your neighbor, maybe the best thing for you to do is to pray for them that one day they will give their lives to the Lord. And that could be the best thing for your relationship with them. And so this, we have this, that, and we are all, we have this common bond that we're all going to be experiencing everlasting life. See, this is the diversity of the Messiah. And this is the diversity, you know, even in our congregation. And just, I want to say, as I get towards the end of my close, someone says, you know, that never say that. And as my last scripture, but really as I get to the end of my message this morning, this is one thing that I love, and I love to tell people about this. I love to tell people out there that ask about Kol Mashiach. I love to tell them we are a congregation of great diversity. I love to tell them that we are Jews from every background all over, that we are non-Jews from every background, all different countries all over. I love to tell people that. I love to do that. I love the fact that we are so diverse, and yet we have this common bond, and that we are so diverse from our backgrounds and our heritage and who we are and our colors. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so this is something that we need to embrace right here at Kol Mashiach, but we need to understand the wonderful thing is we have this common bond, and we should be supporting each other. So if there's any judging, for those that are listening on the web for my message, it's the air quotes, judging, that we need to understand it should be a godly kind of judging. It should be a loving judging. It should be a judging because we want people to grow and to mature, and we want to create greater relationships together. This is what God wants us to do. We shouldn't be judging, but to be a part of the Messianic movement and of the body of Messiah, we need to be judging. But we shouldn't be judging, but we need to be judging. Because one is of the flesh and one is of the spirit. And so this morning, as we looked at this portion with the rebellion and really understanding what was going on and what was happening behind it, we should do these things, and we should understand these things in our lives to stay as far away as possible from getting to those situations of hating and hatefulness and rebellion, because it's not good for any of us to do that. It doesn't help us with our relationship with God. And so I'm just going to end with a word of prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for Yeshua showing us these things. I thank you for Yeshua's brother, Yaakov, showing these things and the things that he was dealing with. Father, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity just to talk about them this morning. And hopefully, Lord, people will understand what I'm trying to get across this morning and will be more self-examination instead of looking on the out and examining everything and everyone and every situation around. But we spend more time looking at ourselves and at our relationship with you and Yeshua. And so we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, this morning. And Lord, we ask that you'll just change our hearts this morning. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Praise your Lord.